We've got a code. Use code VOLLYPOD for 20% off almost anything on the Art of Coaching Volleyball website, including premium memberships, coaching resources, and nearly all books. That's VOLLYPOD, VOLLEYPOD. Use it to save anytime you're on the site. Are you ready to take your volleyball game to the next level? Every week on the VOLLYPOD, we talk to two top coaches who share their secrets for success on the court. From drills to build skills to strategies for boosting confidence, you won't want to miss this valuable advice. Tune in now and elevate your game today.
Good evening and welcome to the VOLLYPOD. How are you this evening, Todd?
Davis, we're in the second 100 now.
Oh my goodness.
It was quite a ride with you that first 100. Wow. And having Sid Bennett with us for the last two. How good was that?
How good was Sid? I love Sydney just as a person. I was so stoked that everyone got to listen to her, and she's so supportive, so kind. She's such a good coach. I'm just so stoked.
Well, you know, it's cool just to, I mean, I look back at myself when I was 25 years old. I was a chocolate mess.
Oh my goodness.
And Sid is so together. Oh my goodness. Yeah. But I mean, you look at, I guess it's, you know, you look at the NBA and you see how athletic these young kids are. She's the Luca of coaching at Coast.
Yeah, she's a prodigy.
She's Luca.
No, she's so sweet, and we were thrilled to have her on. And I mean, it was just a pleasure. So,
hey, before we get going on the pod, we should probably talk a little bit about AOC because they have some stuff coming up with their new season, and they remain our sponsor, and so we are always grateful to everything that AOC does to support us, and they have some stuff coming up beginning on April 13th, not too far away, where they have a new boosting skills and strategy clinic where they have all six skills going on. What do you think of that?
I think that's cool. I like that. Put it all together.
Yeah, yeah, and really kind of break it down by skills. And so that starts out in April, and then that kind of kicks off their season. And then I think you're going to get into some more stuff, you know, toward the end, you know, because they have a bunch of stuff coming up. They have four different clinics coming up later, I think. And you're going to talk about those at the end of the pod.
Absolutely. And
I know you're a cheater. Yeah. You're going for the AOC resource.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, they've just been a great partner. You know, starting off with a podcast, you never know where it's going to go. And we've been really stoked. A lot of people like it. And we could not have gotten the listeners that exposed to the listeners that we have without AOC. So we're really, really thankful to them. So.
The whole idea of gratitude.
Yes.
Coaching, gratitude. And as the pod guys here, we want to express our gratitude to AOC.
Absolutely.
Let's get to it. What do we have? Whose turn?
You're up on the skill.
I'm up on the skill. All right, okay. You'll like this one to start off our second 100. This is called, you know, I love titles. And this is the cringe observation checklist.
I love that title. That's awesome.
So, I have to say I stole this. This wasn't an original.
Okay.
I was reading Volleyball Coaches and Trainers.
Okay.
And a coach wrote in that she was cringing on attackers taking a full approach and jumping and setting it over. Like right at a defender.
Right.
And she was saying that was cringeworthy.
I can see that.
No, and so I agreed, and I just started thinking, well, what are the other things that are cringeworthy for me?
I like this.
And so I have a list.
Okay.
But I didn't take hers because hers was so good. I couldn't actually take hers.
Okay.
So.
The inspiration.
She inspired me.
Right.
I probably should have a name, but I don't know. So these are questions to kind of check on your team. Are you going to get cringes when I walk by or Davis walks by? Because we're both going to Vegas in the next couple of weeks.
Yes,
I'm going tomorrow with the young kids, and then you're going the following week with the older kids.
Absolutely, I'm super
interested. Red Rock Rave. Red Rock Rave. We have all kinds of alliteration going on. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, check with your team. Number one.
Okay.
Is your coach sweatier than the players in the warm-up?
I love this.
A little cringy.
That was me. That was me back in the day.
Me too. I was working hard.
Yeah.
I was working hard for the money.
Yes. I don't know how my players were working, but
okay. Number two, and this is, you know, this is a dead horse, but I get to it every single pod. Does your arm swing warm up resemble what you want to see in a match? It's good. Hitting balls into the ground. It takes me back to, that's not where we want to hit the ball.
Yeah.
And so let's hit it. And I know it's tough to be creative when you're warming up. And I know all the volleyball teams do it. But if you tell your team, hey, we're going to go sideline to sideline, you're going to pretend there's a net in the middle of the court and you have to hit it over the net to your partner. And now I'm even, can you change shapes? Can you go, you know, low level direct line right over the net and then big rainbow? And then the third one is a full looper.
Okay.
And so can they get timing with their elbow?
I like that.
And so once again, some of that differential training we talk about.
I really like that. So, that's a good idea.
That was number two. Number three, getting into your setters. Will your setters habitually go back to a hitter who just got a kill, or will they always set somebody else?
Interesting. Now, is there a better one here? I mean, obviously setting someone else after that other player got the kill seems like the worst choice. But is that what you're kind of getting at with this one?
Well, what I'm getting at, and I probably isn't specific enough, but it's like when you get to, let's say, 2020, and you set a kid and they get a kill, and now you're 21-20. And then the next ball, you set a weaker hitter and they put it in and you lose a point. I'm like,
right.
You know, I'm a feed the monster guy.
Right.
I'm not an equal opportunity guy.
Right.
And I'm telling my setter, listen, it's winning time. Right. Yes. And I don't care if they know who you're setting. Right. She's the best hitter. Yeah. Set her again and again and again.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I get that.
I like to win.
Yes. And Davis. I think a lot of times, you do. I do too. And a lot of times the setters just aren't even conscious of it. They don't know. Yeah.
So that's what I mean. It's cringeworthy because they haven't been taught.
Yes.
They think they're spreading the love.
Right.
And their coaches taught them to spread the love. And I teach my setters to spread the love.
Right.
Not after 2020.
Right.
2020, we're not spreading any more love.
I like it.
It's winning time.
It's winning time.
Magic Johnson.
Gotta go with the big gun.
It's winning time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Will your defenders ever get burned by a tip from an attacker who just got blocked?
Ooh.
So an attacker just gets stuff blocked. The next ball, you know, we're saying, hey, she's going to tip. We teach our team that, hey, she's going to tip after she gets blocked. We're never going to let an attacker, you know, get stuff blocked and then score on the tip. And if they do, I cringe.
Cringeworthy. It's cringeworthy.
Yeah. Cringeworthy? Are you cringing on that?
I'm cringing on that, yes. And I would also add, just obvious stand-up tips, you know, or stand-up set-overs or whatever, roll shots, that kind of stuff getting dropping. Just anything easy. But yes, that is cringeworthy.
Yeah, well, sure. They're not looking at the hitter. They're looking at the ball. They're not looking at it. Which brings us to the next couple, which are blockers.
This is one of my worst ones.
Well, your blockers max jump to block a back row setter.
Classic. This is the classic one. Got guys, you know, I've played with touch 11 feet, 11, 6 or whatever, and they're just max jumping with the back row setter. It's like, come on, man.
It's not just the 15-year-old girls.
No, it's not. It's everyone.
No, it is cringy.
It's like,
but it's cringy.
Yes.
It's cringy, especially when they're big points, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And other hitters are getting isolated.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of that, are your blockers jumping when the opponent is settling for a free ball? So the opponent's bumping the ball over and your blockers aren't looking at the hitter. They're looking obviously at the ball.
Yes. Yes. Cringy. Very cringy.
And they're max jumping and they're bumping the ball. You know, it's 5 feet over the net or something. And they're blocking.
Yeah.
Cringy. No,
very cringy.
Okay. Next one is one that's probably a little more of me. A lot of those ones, you know, relate to all the coaches, but this one's more of me because I'm a lift tip guy. You know, I've talked about it before, and I want to lift tip right over the block. We practice it a lot. We want it right like the middle of the court. There's no defender there. We want to lift tip there. So are your middle blockers throw tipping, which I hate. I hate throw tips. Directly at a defender, or will they lift tip low to the donut?
Yeah,
So they have a choice, right? Are you going to lift tip to the open spot or are you going to throw it right at a defender?
Absolutely.
Cringy for me.
Cringy and classic as well. Just happens all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Next one. Now we're getting into some more culture stuff.
Okay.
Will your player say my bad after a miss serve?
We know it's their bad, right? At that point, we figured it out.
Hopefully there was no one else that could take any responsibility for that.
Absolutely.
Maybe they could blame me and say, wait a minute, coach, this was your bad. You didn't coach me while serving this week.
Well, it'd be awesome if like the outside is serving and misses. And then the middle's just like, my bad, coach, my bad. But the other one I really like on this too, and we had this guy in high school that did this. He would look at his hand every time. Like, why did you do me wrong, hand?
I like that one too. Yeah. Look at my hand. My hand betrayed me. Yes.
What are you doing to me?
Yeah, that's exorcist hand, right?
Yes, exactly.
I like that one. Next one. Will your players ever walk out of a timeout looking more disheartened than when they walked in? That's cringy.
That's very cringy.
So the coach is over there going crazy. The kids walk out and their heads are hanging. I'm going, that timeout really helped.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
That's cringy.
I'm sure it's happened. I try not to have it happen, but I'm sure it's happened to me before.
No, I mean, I'm sure I'm trying, as an old guy, I'm trying to get a little better with that. But no, it's cringy though.
Yeah, for sure.
And then last one, we're back to blockers. Will your blockers net against an attacker who can't hit, who can't get a kill? There's nothing I hate worse than a net against a hitter who then like fluffs it out of bounds or fluffs it to the libero and we get a net call. That's cringy for me.
Yes.
And when I see it with other teams, it's a lot funnier when it happens to other people, Davis.
Absolutely. You're like, no, man, I would just, can I throw one in there?
No. What are the cringy things for you?
Okay,
we're in cringe mode.
We're in Cringeville. So when the coach says, pass the ball.
Oh, that helps.
Yeah, it's cringy, but I see it all the time. Like they're going, okay, all right, I got it now. Thanks, coach.
Right.
You know, I guess that's one. And then not paying attention on the lines. Cringy when they're on either on their phones, which they not much, but when they're just not paying attention.
See, for me, I'm a little different with that because I just think that why are we having kids on the line?
And
get them out of
too.
There. Just let the ref call. Like maybe the 18s.
Right.
It's time to do it to get them ready or something because they want to know about touches, but. Like, I think I can watch your team, and I think my calls, if I have a good view as a up ref, I think my calls are going to be better than a disinterested 16-year-old.
Yes, I agree with that.
But why do we have them there?
But you know what? They defer to them so often.
Why do we have them there? It is the sports. It's another stupid thing we do.
No, I agree. I do agree.
Let's just flip score.
Yes.
Let's just flip score, and let's have the ref flip score. And let's have the kids hang out, do their homework, hang out as a team together. Let's get rid of all the reffing stuff. Let's trust the coaches to keep the lineups in order. And if there are egregious things where coaches are cheating, then let's challenge that. But I don't really think coaches are really going to cheat. I think they can screw up.
Right.
And make mistakes that might be to their advantage and sometimes their disadvantage.
Right. Mostly to their disadvantage.
But it'll all even out. And if it's to their even if it's to their advantage, their kids are still going to be confused.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So let's get rid of all that stuff and maybe start it when they're 17 or something if you need to do that. But I just like what other sport does this? You know,
that's true.
Has 10-year-olds with a scorebook and you have a ref. You know,
we got to go by the scorebook
and saying that we have to trust the scorebook when I'm a 60-year-old referee, but I'm going to trust a 10-year-old on a scorebook because we follow the book because that's the rule.
That's sort of the tradition. Yeah.
What kind of sport do we have? Don't get me
started.
But
no, we're switching to the doubles. We're not switching that stuff. So it's weird.
Okay, I have two more cringy things. All right, what are we doing? Parents yelling, just get it into servers. And then parents making excuses for losses. Oh, our kids were tired. Oh, we had a long drive. Oh, we got caught in traffic. Oh, we didn't eat lunch. Oh, we didn't do this. And so it's like, wait a minute. We're trying to teach kids to take responsibility. We got parents doing this. So that's my cringe list.
And with the parents one, I'd say any yelling at the ref. I just don't like it. You know,
it's
just
any yelling at anything. At any of the parents.
Yeah. Besides cheering, really, it's just, you know, it's bad form. It doesn't look good. If anything, it makes the ref kind of want to go against you and kind of dig in his heels a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I don't like that. So we almost had a purple card. Two tournaments ago, not on my team, but on another team.
What is a purple card? I don't even know what a purple card is. They're adding colors to me, Davis, in my old age.
A purple card is for the fans. Fans can get a purple card, and if you get another one, then it's a point for the other team, I guess. And I don't know. I'm not sure if that.
Do they escort the parent out or kind of do some kind of walk of shame?
That would be great. They got to take off their shoes. And no, I don't know about that. If they have to leave or anything, but it starts affecting the team on the second one.
Okay.
The first one's kind of a warning, but there was a warning of a purple card. So it's happening, you know. All this right. guy, this parents were just kept on the ref the whole time, and he was just fine. He's finally like, fine. Purple card, you know, warning.
Did he have the purple like ready?
I didn't.
Did he have to like
see a purple
thumb
card.
Through his cards and like kind of like?
You got to hold one over the other to make and shine it through the right light. No, I don't know. I didn't see a purple card specifically, but it is a thing now. So
all right. Yeah. Well, I think we're done with the skill, and now we're scenario time. What do you got?
Okay, so the scenario is something very valid for me coming up, and that's. Should you manage expectations for big tournaments and playing from a high seed or a low seed? So the first question, and Todd, we can talk this over a little bit, is going into these big tournaments, should you manage the expectations for your team, for the parents, that kind of thing? I see some pros and some cons to this. Typically, do you make any comments to your team or the parents about how well you think they're going to do?
Well, so you're putting
question.
Me on the spot here. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good
right.
question.
You're putting me
right?
on the spot. Okay. So here is my current take on this.
Okay.
I am into high standards, no expectations.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And we try to teach kids and parents that from day one.
So
it's not something we just bring up when we get to a big qualifier.
Right.
But we're in high standards. No expectations, because we don't know the future. We're going to be in the present. And all of this stuff about managing expectations is future orientation.
Yes.
And things we know we can't control are the past and the future. What we can control is the present. We want to have our high standards in the present. Not every point. Hey, can we play hard? Can we be together? Can we be smart? Can we do all the stuff that we're training to do? Can we keep those standards high, whether we're playing the team that is ranked number one or the team that is ranked number 1,000? We want to do that. So that's kind of my thing. And I think it's not something you can just make up at the time.
Right.
It's something that has to be part of, because it's a little different than what most people do. And it goes against this idea of qualifying.
Yes.
Right. And and it's against that. And so you have to really be, I think, diligent and consistent with teaching that and starting from the beginning. It's not easy. I mean, I can talk right now to you right now and hey, there's nothing going on. But hey, when you get to the qualifier and you're playing that match to qualify, I mean, everybody feels it.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
And the parents have money involved. I mean, there's all this stuff, which our system is so stupid. But it's, you can't ignore it.
Absolutely. I just kind of wanted to open up some discussion on this because I think it does matter.
Yep.
Right. And I see some pros and cons, right? If you manage expectations, meaning you say some comments that will sort of let your team down easy, it could cushion the fall if they fall. Right. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing long-term, but for their egos in the short term, it feels better than just failing, right? if you say, hey, I don't know how good we're going to do, we might not do that great, and they do well, they might be pleasantly surprised, right? Of course, these are just the natural outcomes. But there are so many cons that go along with it. Now, I would say if you're a lower seed and you're playing at the end of the tournament and you're finally getting a chance to play some teams that are your ability level, there is some benefit to saying, okay, this is a team that we can beat, you know, and putting that belief in there. But there's also, on the other hand, this idea that it doesn't matter if we can beat them. We're going to have high standards. It doesn't matter what's going on the other side of the net, et cetera, et cetera. So I can see the cons here also being the perception that you don't believe in the team. If you say, you know, hey, they say to you, hey, we think we can win this thing. And you say, hey, let's check our, you know, perceptions, and let's just stay focused in the moment.
And that's why I don't like to try to vary it. And I want to be consistent. And the bottom line, Davis, is we really don't know how good a team is that we're playing.
Absolutely.
And they might be ranked high, but their best player might not be there. And their best player might be going to, you know, she might have offers from, you know, Stanford, Texas, Nebraska, and then she's not there. And then the team becomes, you know, pedestrian. So we're, once again, there's stuff that we don't know.
Yes.
And so can we just control the stuff that we can control?
That's right.
And we can't control the opponents. We can't control their level. But what we can control is what's on our side of the net. And can we continue to improve and get better and learn and keep our standards high? And then let the chips fall. And hey, we learn how to, you know, win with, you know, humility and lose with grace. And it's okay. Right. We want to experience losing.
Right.
If we play a bunch of crappy teams and kick the shit out of them every time, that wouldn't be good for us. We want our kids to learn about sticking together when things get tough.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of my thing. So I'm against trying to, you know, I guess manage, because you can't really manage. You don't know.
Right.
You have no idea. You look at rankings, but you don't know what's going on with that team. I mean, how many times have you gone out with your team and you go, oh my gosh, my top setter isn't here. My top outside just went down with an ankle, and then you win. And you go, how did we win that match? You have no idea. Right. That stuff happens.
Yeah.
And so, like, I try to stay away. And I stay away from with my, I'm not into goal setting.
Yeah.
With teams. Yeah. We don't goal set. We just say, listen, I don't want to goal set. I don't know how good we can be. I don't want to set a goal that's lower than what we can
be. That's what I mean, right?
And so, because we could be better. You guys can surprise me and be better than we ever think. I don't want to set a goal that is too low.
Right. Or too far.
And then I don't want to set a goal that's too, I don't know. Because all these teams that we're playing, we don't know how they are. All I know is, can we get a little better every time we get together?
I like it. And that brings me to the coach's honor code. Okay. Because we're thinking the kind of the same thing here. I don't control the outcomes, but I wish the best for everyone. And I will control what I can control. I will prepare the team to the best of my ability so that they know what to do and don't need me for everything. I'll be super aware and alert to the changing conditions in the match. I won't be so radical as to throw the team off their game, but I also won't not act if action is needed. I will cheer and support the team, whether we are winning or losing. If we lose, we lose, and we will move on and get better. That's my little coach's honor.
Did you write that?
I wrote that.
Well done, my friend. Thank you.
I came up with that.
Well done.
You know,
I thought you ripped it off from someone. I'm going, who did you steal that from? That's really good.
No, yeah, I like that.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
My pod partner. That's why you're my partner, because you got skills. I was always good at choosing good beast partners, and now I have a pod partner, Davis. That's why. Because you can carry me. That's good.
Well, and I guess
I'm moving over to this little spot on the beast now, and you're just passing the whole court. I love it.
That's awesome. So anyways, that's just my sort of little honor code. Anyways, if you're playing from a high seed, I do think there's a couple things to do. And obviously you want to stay in the moment, stay focused on your fundamentals, focus on efficiency and staying strong throughout the entire tournament. if you have an easier team, you want to still stay focused on your game, right? And track the things that matter to you later in the tournament. Start that early in the tournament, right? And you say to the team as well, I will play the subs when X and Y happen, right? I will put the subs in, etc. We need to play this way compared to the other teams, okay? And we will need to be great at the right times and steady throughout. I think that's the message you send to the high-level teams. On the low-level teams, the low seeds, we're going to get great competition. We will get a chance to play some high-level volleyball. We will be able to really see where we rank among some of the best teams in the area. We'll focus on taking care of every play that we can. We'll focus on our side of the net. We'll have to be really great at a high level at whatever it may be, at your level, serving, whatever. We want to stay super aggressive yet tactical, and we want to take some educated risks. And we need to sometimes say good play to the other team on great points that they beat us on. And those are my takes on playing from a high seed, playing from a low seed. In some regards, it doesn't matter. But like you said, it is real, the difference. And when people start talking to you, if you got a high seed, it starts kind of messing with your mind. So if you can have a few things to anchor yourself on and your team on, I think it makes a big difference.
I will say, I'll throw one more thing into you, and that is, you know, the idea of subbing when you're ahead. And I think that's something in club, which is, you know, can be a problem for teams, right? So you win the first set, you know, 25-15. You see this team isn't as talented. You start a couple other kids then who might not play normally. And all of a sudden you're down, you know, 14-10 in the second. And do you stick with those kids, or what do you do? How do you do that? And I guess my feeling is that, can you practice that stuff?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so people go, oh, well, they just don't. Well, you go, listen, this is what's going to happen. You know, we're going to get ahead, and these kids, I'm going to put these kids in. And your job as a starter is to say, hey, this is their chance to shine. We know they're not going to play as much as I'm going to play. So I'm almost saying, hey, I am playing harder for them. And the people on the bench are going to be cheering harder for them, because they're not going to have the opportunities maybe against those top teams. And so, but creating that in practice, so you don't have that tension in, can you, you know, change the score and go, hey, we're down 5-1 with this group in now, you know, and all of a sudden you get off to a bad start.
Yeah.
And like what happened?
Yeah.
Because really that like can that. Happen. Oh, and it can sure. happen to your best team.
Absolutely.
You can be down 5-1 with the best team. Yeah. And once again, after winning a first set, I mean, and, you know, I'm a tennis guy. After winning the first set, there's a natural letdown when you start the second set. I mean, that's just a psychological thing that happens to the best tennis players in the world.
Yeah.
So if you put subs in, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, it was just a sub's fault, but it might not be. All right. I'm going to talk about videos.
Okay. We're going to do the videos.
We have two. Lori Eisler is a high school coach, and she has a cool video. What is the point of blocking? Oh, and that kind of gets us into, hey, should we be blocking people that can't hit? Should we be jumping with free balls and that stuff? And then the other one is Joe Trinzi. With three visual learning techniques to help your players. And that kind of gets into some of those cringy things we talk about. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but you can check out those videos. There's two there, and cool. It leaves you with a little AOC
the resource.
Yeah. Yes. What do you got?
So, you know, the Art of Coaching does a fantastic job with their virtual clinics, right? So they have a few coming up that I wanted to let everyone know about. The high school season prep clinic is back, and it's on July 13th this year. That's an awesome clinic that prepares you for the high school season.
I think I'm doing something for that one.
Are you?
Yeah, okay. I'm doing something. So I'm fired up for that one.
That's going to be sweet. On August 3rd, you have the middle school season prep clinic. That's coming up. And
I like it how they're kind of switching and getting some middle school stuff. That's kind of into the volley pod thing, you know?
Yeah, they're bringing the youngers on. I really like it. I like it. And then you know that you can go, everyone out there, you can go to the event section of the AOC site and use code VOLLEYPOD. That's VOLLEYPOD for 20% off any of the virtual clinics.
20% off the clinics, which, too?
That's what I was saying. The clinics, is that's a good deal.
Right, because now they're getting some cash out of that.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a really cool thing. And they are live or on demand. So you don't have to travel if you don't, you know, if you can't, you know, if you can't get out there, it's whatever.
The whole virtual.
Virtual thing. Environment. Yeah, so we got a whole stuff. New thing. So what a great episode, Todd.
Davis,
thank you
back
so much.
At it in our second 100. Second well 100 done. Episodes. How about the, where are we on the?
The socials.
Socials.
Yes, everyone, please be, feel free to check us out on Instagram at aoc.thevolleypod and on Twitter at thevolleypod, where we update with the announcements of the new episodes every Thursday. So thanks a lot.
Good stuff.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.